Deutsche Welle, die 77%.
Take me by the end. Woo! Show me the way I can go. Take me by the end. Show me the way.
Hello there, and welcome to this week's edition of The 77%. On today's show, we are talking about repats.
That is people who have been abroad but now come back to their home countries to use their skills there.
But how important is it for Africans in the diaspora to return home? That is the question we'll be tackling on today's show. My name is Wanjiko Mwaura.
And I'm Eddie Micah Jr. in Bonn, Germany. And a little later, we'll be joined by a surprise guest in the studio. Perhaps it's someone you're quite familiar with. You don't want to miss out on that surprise.
And we'll also hear your comments on this week's debate, so stay tuned for that.
As always, you can be part of this by visiting our Facebook page, DW Africa. Don't forget to leave your comments.
First came the expats, qualified graduates or young people looking for jobs abroad. And now it's the time for repats, smart elite Africans, European or Afro-Americans who choose to head back to their African countries in which they have historic family ties.
Now, today the continent is home to some of the world's fastest growing economies, and motivated, skilled entrepreneurs are hurrying to play a role in their development. From brain drain to brain gain, the diaspora is Africa's secret weapon.
And in Senegal, recruitment agencies and social clubs targeting repats, or returnees as they are called, are soaring in popularity, making settling a little easier, as Emmanuel Londe found out.
Spread out across the world, the African diaspora is made up of around 170 million people. That's almost the population of Nigeria. Some were either born and raised outside their home country, others migrated to Europe or the US and other parts of the world, and some moved abroad to study. In North America, there are 39 million from the African diaspora, 113 million in Latin America, 13.6 million in the Caribbean, and 3.5 million in Europe, according to the World Bank. The African Union has actually labelled them the sixth region of Africa. Today, diasporians or repats are looking for opportunities on the continent rather than off it, and are coming back, so to speak.
Pourquoi le Sénégal? Parce que déjà d'une, c'est chez moi.
Why Senegal? Because firstly, it's my home, it's my country. It was an obvious choice for me. I've always told myself that I would go back to Africa one day or another, and especially back to my home, to try to create something.
Senegalese Fa Diallo was born in Dakar and spent 22 years living in Paris. She returned to Dakar 2.5 years ago.
Europe has given us a lot, but it's not what it used to be. Europe is already a well-oiled system where everything already exists. Here, when we arrive, it feels like everything we touch is an innovation, and that's the difference. We really feel like we're bringing some added value.
Before coming back to Senegal, Fa, herself a mother of two, took courses on early childhood development. Her goal was clear from the start, to set up a childcare training school in the capital.
I wanted to do this in Dakar because it didn't exist. And there's a big problem when it comes to anything to do with early childhood. There's no training and people really struggle to find qualified childcarers.
She says that the people she meets in Senegal today don't understand why she's come back.
They don't understand me. They think I'm an alien or something. They see coming back as a step backwards. They don't understand how I could have left what I had to come back here and start all over again, struggle and suffer a bit in the process. But to me, I think it's just how some of us are.
On va commencer par le cou, parce qu'il y a souvent les plis, il y a des saletés entre les plis.
She has a dozen pupils, and already, just halfway through the year, kindergarten schools have come to Fa to recruit her students. Across town, 36-year-old Yannick Mandiba, born in France to Cameroonian parents, moved to Dakar 18 months ago. He's the first marketing manager employed at one of the Premier League football school and leisure centres in Dakar that rents out football pitches. He too says the joy of moving to Africa is being able to develop something from scratch.
I think there are a lot of things that you can start here, and it is very rewarding to do a job like that, since in other countries you can have jobs that are interesting, but will be less invested in them. It makes less of an impact on you.
Moving to the continent is not an easy transition, he says, but is absolutely gratifying if you have an entrepreneurial spirit. Some repats don't even mind earning less, because in Europe or the US, they weren't making the kind of impact they aspired to.
Some people decide to come with no hesitations because they want to start their own business or be entrepreneurs in Africa, but that's quite a long shot from the reality on the ground. You need to be really humble, and rather than thinking, what will Senegal do for me, instead ask yourself, what am I going to do for Senegal and the Senegalese?
76% of young Africans in the diaspora are willing to get involved in the continent's development, according to a 2014 study by a French think tank. They're just doing it differently to how their parents did it, says Awa Li, the founder of a networking club in Dakar, which launched a few months ago.
We immigrants, our parents and ourselves, the children, have always contributed to the development of the country, except that our parents' generation was happy to send money to build infrastructure in the villages or send ambulances, for example. We have the same desire to participate in the development of the country, but in a different way.
She created the club for people like herself, who left everything they've built up in Europe to start over in Dakar and need a little support and guidance.
We actually come to the continent. That is the biggest changing factor. We just give up everything we have and return, settle down and do business, rather than sending cash to help build infrastructure.
With their talent, energy, skills and technological know-how, diasporians are furthering economic progress in Africa by coming to work and, when possible, creating jobs. Awa had a successful career as a high-flying TV producer in Paris. Now she's set up her own production company in Dakar.
We are all called to be entrepreneurial. My decision to come back to the continent was to create something, to start a business. We're not here to do humanitarian work. We are here to make money. That should be very clear. But feeding this desire is the ambition to benefit the country.
Like Awa, Yannick and Fa, many Africans in the diaspora want to eventually go back home after living abroad. However, one of their biggest challenges is finding suitable employment once they return, says Shams Jian, founder of Talent to Africa, a recruitment agency that specialises in African talent. He's seen very motivated individuals do anything they can to move back.
One can even feel a certain sadness when it comes to those who try to come but don't succeed. They are quite desperate because they see Africa as a kind of El Dorado. It's about returning to the country of their ancestors. They return to a continent full of opportunities because today the opportunities are more and more visible.
More young, smart, motivated people are taking the plunge, knowing it's not going to be rosy when they land. This has consequently spurred entrepreneurship and the startup culture thriving in African capitals like Dakar. African countries can only benefit from this brain gain as young elite Africans give up on the West and create the opportunities their parents never had on the continent. Opportunities which they hope will positively change the face of that continent for the future. For DW, Emmanuel Landet in Dakar, Senegal.
To start us off on this debate, here's a song, Back to My Roots by Lucky Dube.
I went to a party the other night. They said it's gonna be right there. But when we were at the party, I was disappointed.
We finally get to introduce the one and only Crispin Mwakideo.
Oh, always a pleasure. I'm the big man in this room.
Yes, you are.
Thank you for having me.
It's always a pleasure, Crispin. Now, To begin with, here's a comment on this debate. Abiodun Adisa says, to whom much is given, much is expected. African reports on returning to Africa need to create jobs or invest in farms that will. And my question is, can the African diaspora only help their countries by going back home?
A simple answer, no. Obviously, they still help while they're here in Europe or abroad, let's say, by sending remittances back home, by supporting the families in one way or another. So they don't have to go back home to help their families or to help their countries. But it's a different thing when they go back, because they are not only just sending money, but they are also there personally or physically. And so they add more value to their own countries or their regions. So in the long run, I think that's the argument.
The question, though, is, do you believe the impact is felt more by diasporas than for those that are actually living in the countries?
I would say that it's like a win-win kind of thing, because the diaspora, first and foremost, left for a reason, either for political persecution or they left to search for greener pastures or higher education. Whatever reason they left their countries for meant that they were hoping for a better life. And if they go back, the hope usually is that they come back different. They come back better people, you know, and that's why we have this whole now movement of presidents or countries saying, hey, you know, it's time to come back and do something here, like locally in Africa, rather than just building other people's countries or continents for that matter.
But do the governments, as they are asking people to come back home and rebuild or develop their countries, are they actually putting in place measures to make it easier for people to relocate back to their original countries?
They pretend to be. In most cases, they pretend. They just talk. Some of them have done a good job doing that. But I think most of them, they just want the money. You know, they're just thinking short term in terms of, when the reports come back, that means investment, that means we'll have more money in the countries, that means job employment and less trouble with the young people.
But that's not a bad thought, though. Economy to be boosted with more expats coming back or returning.
Yes, but we cannot depend on them. We cannot say that this is like the key to unlocking a success in fighting youth unemployment, for example. I think that they should complement the efforts that are already being made.
For sure.
In this case, I don't see that happening in many African countries. We're still playing this blame game, you know, like, we don't have jobs because we don't have companies, because people are corrupt, because, you know, we always have these reasons as to why things are not moving.
As you rightly are saying, the expats, when they return, should complement the country's resources and basically add value where need be. In real estate, for instance, in Kenya, of course, that's creating jobs for the local people also, and in some sense, expanding the economy. And obviously, that's a good thing, isn't it?
It is. But on the other hand, you must remember that it cuts both ways. Because if they come back, if you give an example that you've just given of the housing construction or the real estate.
Yeah.
You find that when they come back, the experts, they come back with a lot of money. Yeah, they have invested, they have saved their money, they come back, and all of a sudden property prices shoot. Yeah, they go up. So for the locals who have been dreaming or hoping to buy a property, a plot or a house, it becomes almost impossible, because there's this guy who comes with thousands of dollars, and for them it's not a big deal. So it's more like a two-way. It means the economy gets more money and there's a bit of a development, but for the locals, they completely get cut off. And it makes it harder for them to compete.
Interesting one, Crispin. Well, let's hear from Razak in Ghana about how important it is to him for Africans in the diaspora to return home.
It is important because they have acquired some useful experiences in those countries. They have acquired some necessary skills which are mostly lacking in the continent of Africa. So when they return, they'll be able to share those experiences, those skills with those back at home, so that together the two groups can develop the continent. Since they are also Africans, they also be able to understand the context of the socio-economic development of the continent.
That is Razak from Ghana, and he points out another interesting angle, which is the assumption that Africans in the diaspora understand the market in which they are coming back to. However, is this always the case?
I kind of disagree with Razak here, because I don't believe that they have a better understanding of the situation in their respective countries. When you've been away for 10, 15, 20 years, definitely you'd lose out. You can't keep track of all that's happening in your country. I mean, you might try to, but you will not understand really the nitty-gritty details of what's really going on. So I kind of like feel like sometimes we We shouldn't have this dependence mode. I mean, we used to have this, anything from the West is like the best. And now we shouldn't fall into the same trap where we start to think, any guy who's from abroad or whatever is the best.
Oh, no. Chris Fidio hitting some nerves here.
No, I mean, honestly.
Yeah.
Look.
Mm-hmm. I mean, but that's not what Razak is saying, though. Razak is saying that, I mean, you make a point hinting, that you lose touch a bit. Yeah. You lose touch a bit. But obviously, you're still more connected than a very neutral person coming into the same situation.
But he's alluding that, you know, if they come back with all this knowledge and all this. Yeah, that could be the case. But there are some who came here, let's say, with this irregular migration debate that we've been having for a while. How different are they from the ones that have been home? So it's not as if all those people who leave Africa come back with better knowledge or better skills than the ones who are at home. That's not the argument, I believe.
Before we carry on to that, what are your thoughts on this debate? Let us know by leaving a comment on our Facebook page, DW Africa.
Now we take a quick musical break with more from Lucky Dube, one of South Africa's biggest selling reggae artists.
Did you know he actually recorded 22 albums in Zulu, English, and Africans in a 25-year period? Well, enjoy.
I could do that, though.
I know you can't.
Please.
And the music that played there was not good for a Rastaman, yeah. Was not good for any job.
Welcome back. You are tuned in to the 77% Radio Show, where you get to join in the debate. My name is Wanjiku Mwaura.
And I am Eddie Micah Jr. Speaking of debate, we have more comments here. Now, Edwin Chibutin Ingang says, a lot of successful Africans in the diaspora wish to return home and give back to their communities knowledge and skills gained from the West, or even make financial investments. But political instability, bad taxation policies, unfavorable business climate, and political persecution from sit-tight dictators affect things.
Wow, Crispin, your take on that?
I think we shouldn't also spoil these reports. We shouldn't. I mean, they know the conditions back home, and it could be very well true that some of them are hindered from going back because of these points that Edwin has mentioned. But on the other hand, I think that should not be an excuse. I mean, look at somebody like the current president of Liberia, George Weah. He played football in Europe for many years. And we know Liberia is one of the, or at least was one of the poorest countries, but he still went back. I know of stories where he paid for the entire football team, you know, tickets, trips and all that. So it shouldn't really hinder you. If you really want to make a change, you have to decide, okay, this is time, I'm going back. But if you're like 1 foot here, 1 foot there, it never works.
That's true. Now, we are running short of time, but before we sign out, last question to both of you, actually. If you relocated to the country in which you were born, how would your community react?
Akwaaba.
What does that
Akwaaba?
Mean?
Welcome.
Uh-huh.
Akwaaba. Yeah.
I mean, they'll welcome me, bottom line is what I'm saying. I think it's they would welcome me. And the truth is, of course, most will be looking forward to see, as they will say, my action. You know, what exactly am I bringing to board? How exactly am I contributing? Whether it's family, my local community, to the church or whatever. So yeah, people will be looking out for what more you can bring on board.
I'll give you a short story, maybe if I have time, but very simple. I once went back home. I'm from Kenya, and I went to Kenya, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago. And while I was walking in some neighborhood, one kid comes running to me and goes, "Ah, Mzungu, Mzungu, Mzungu." And Mzungu actually means white person. I'm not white, to be clear. Now, it wasn't that I was offended, but I just want to make this point that sometimes the expectations that people have back home are high if you're living abroad. And sometimes people are stopped from going back just because of these expectations. But I believe if I go back today, I didn't kill anyone. So
You would still be welcome.
They'll just go karibu nyumbani. Okay.
Well, it's been an interesting debate. That's all we have time for this week's 77% show. You can listen to this show and previous editions by visiting dw.com/77.
And remember, keep the 77% debate going by visiting our Facebook page, DW Africa. Until next time, I'm Wanjiku Mwaura.
And I'm Eddie Micah Jr.
And I've been Crispin Mwakideo.
Bye from us.